Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is October the 7th, and I'm here with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
Rain, finally.
Rain. It was beautiful. Glorious to see. I usually don't like rain. Yeah. I don't like cloudy weather, but this morning working out in the rain brought me nothing but pure joy.
So 8 o'clock service yesterday.
Yeah.
I was preaching and it started raining.
Hard.
Yeah, right. And everybody knows listening to this that it hasn't rained in a month or more. So it started raining hard and you should have seen the faces. No one was paying attention to me. Everyone was looking out the window. That's the beautiful thing about having windows in your chapel. Natural light. People just looking out the window. And so I stopped in the middle of the sermon and looked out the window with them.
Yeah.
We rejoiced in the rain and then we moved on.
We moved on. Yeah. Good. Well, fall weather's here and this is nice.
Yep.
Good. So let's look back at the sermon on Sunday. So we were back in Matthew chapter 28, which is known as the Great Commission, looking at verses 16 through 20. But you kind of talked about personal discipleship a lot. I feel like in the first week and how it ties to the church. But this week you were talking more about like global missions and the role of the church in that. So if you would give us a little recap of the sermon from Sunday, and then I've got a couple of questions.
Okay. So yes, the paragraph that we've looked at for 2 weeks now is at the end of the book of Matthew. Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go into all the nations and make disciples. Baptize them and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that he has commanded them, and then he will be with them. He gives them the promise of his presence. So the first week we did that from the standpoint of personal discipleship.
Right.
And then this past week, what we're talking about today, we did it from the standpoint of Jesus' commissioning. This is what the church is supposed to go do.
Right.
And that is to make disciples. So we just put before ourselves the foundation of grace, the foundation of our congregation, which is the mission that Jesus gave us to be a disciple-making congregation.
Yep.
Following right on right after Jesus to the apostles to the church, and the church doing this.
Yep.
We're just following in that line.
Yep. Okay, so in that thought that this is the mission of the church, which is a disciple-making church. So I'm going to ask the first question, which Scott is, how does a church lose its mission? So if that's our mission, that's what we should be focused on. And we all know this. It's just kind of who we are as people together. We can lose sight of what's important or lose sight of the main. So how does a church begin to lose its mission?
Well, many ways. One would be to lose the gospel.
Okay.
So if the message coming from a church does not constantly include and is not constantly centered on the work of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection on our behalf, and then the call to repentance and faith in him, then you'll lose your discipleship mission.
So the gospel is important.
Yeah, the gospel is important. A church can lose its sense of mission if it turns inward.
Okay.
So, in other words, if the church forgets that the goal, that Christ's goal is the extension of grace to more and more people, that thanksgiving might increase to the glory of God. By the way, you know, I'm quoting 2 Corinthians 4 when I say that over and over.
Yep.
I think people forget. That's from the Apostle Paul. Well, he's just carrying on the mission of Jesus.
Right.
He's showing us the vision that Jesus has, that grace would extend to more and more people, that thanksgiving may increase to the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 4:15. So if a church forgets that and forgets that on earth until the Lord returns, it is extension, it is expansion, and then that church turns inward and starts to just enjoy its own comforts and its own fellowship and its own relationship with one another, it ceases to become a welcoming church. It ceases to become a sending church. It ceases to be a church that sees itself as going into not only the nations, like cross-culturally, but its own city, every nook and cranny of its city. The church is, people are, Christians are.
Right.
That's where Jesus is. They're following Jesus into those places. So if you lose the gospel, or if you turn inward, then those are places. And then I think if you let yourself get distracted, meaning if you start to see that, if you fail to see that no other organized group of people are tasked with carrying the message of Christ and calling people to follow him, and then you start to see yourself as just another organization on earth that's meant to make life on earth something else, then you can lose our unique sense of mission.
Right.
And local congregations can become not bad.
Right.
But become merely organizations that are about making life better on earth.
Right. Okay.
Now, and so I have to be careful there.
Yeah.
Be super careful, because that is not a statement against Christians living their lives in such a way that life is actually better for people.
Right.
Of course that will happen.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the central mission of the church. And if you lose the gospel and you lose your uniqueness as a congregation and you lose the fact that nobody else is going to call people to Jesus, they're just going to make life better. And then you just become one of the organizations on earth that merely makes life better.
Right.
You've lost your sense. You've veered.
Yep.
So that now that takes a lot of unpacking, and I can hear right now, I can hear pushback from people listening to what I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's true. We need to acknowledge it.
And I want to go there in just a moment. I've got a follow-up question. So I'm just going to take one of those examples that you talked about, how we can lose our mission. So let's talk about becoming an inward church. So I think sometimes, Scott Moore, and we've talked about this, I think sometimes we just become we're very unaware of what's really going on. So I think some of you sit down to a person and go, hey, did you realize you're kind of becoming inward? I didn't know that. And wow, you're right. I am coming inward and focused. What would be some signs you would think? You can go any of those examples, but take, for example, becoming an inward-focused congregation. Okay. What would be some signs, do you think, you know, because it doesn't start all the way where you're just so inward-focused and not thinking about others. It's a slow drift often, I think, for people. So what would you say, these are some warning signs probably that you're getting there.
That a congregation is becoming an inward focused
church, or losing the church? Gospel or becoming where they're only focused on just, you know, making your life better on earth. Like what are some of those slow drifts, signs that you're heading in those directions? I didn't even mean to ask this question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think I just said a few of them.
Right.
Kind of, it's almost like a restatement of what we just said. But if all of our activity, as a congregation or as a Christian, if in all of our activity there is no clear message of Christ, and of the work of Christ on our behalf, and of the call of Christ to come and follow, that's a clear sign. Mm. So, again, this is tricky.
Right. Yeah.
Let's take this example. Our church is involved in a local elementary school.
Yep.
And we're doing tutoring, and some people are doing tutoring, and we've done other project-type things that are helpful to this local school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, anybody can do that.
Right.
And we can be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a congregation that declares Jesus as Lord and understands the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our behalf, we're not there merely for something like helping out. We're there for that, and that's a legitimate purpose for us being there. Mm-hmm. But we're there also as a congregation. So we're praying, and we are looking for opportunity to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the very people that we're serving. Now, we're careful. We know we have to be careful. We're in a school. We can't violate certain policies and practices of a public school system, and we're fine with that.
Right.
We get the way things work. But we're also desirous of those very people we're serving to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So again, there's a lot to be unpacked there.
Right.
But one of the ways we would know that we've lost mission or become ingrown or become inward looking, if one of the ways we would know that is if there's no gospel.
Okay.
in what we're trying to do. Good. And then another way would simply be if we just don't care about people outside of our gatherings.
Right.
You know, we've got our church. I gave the illustration on Sunday of you can only imagine the temptation that the 11 at the end of Matthew, when it says the 11 saw Jesus and worshiped him, you can only imagine the temptation they faced.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they like, wow, we got through this week and this weekend and Friday of crucifixion unscathed. We've got our heads on. Like, they didn't sever our heads.
Right.
You know, they didn't nail us to a cross.
Right.
And now, by the time they get to where Jesus is giving this, they got 120 people. It says that in Acts chapter 1. They're praying together. They're safe, you know. They care about each other. They've seen Jesus alive. You can only imagine the temptation that they would have had.
Mm-hmm.
Just to stay there. Like, this, don't do anything that would mess with this. This is right. All we've got. It's as good as it's going to get, and let's don't lose this goodness.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So one sign that we're losing it is if we just want to stay hunkered down with our people and don't risk losing any of the goodness that we experience in this community to be open and reaching out.
Good. So another follow-up question, which we've already kind of touched on it a little bit, want to kind of expand on it a little bit. So obviously you've mentioned the mission of the church is to make disciples, but obviously the church is involved in a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to moral issues, speaking to cultural issues at times when it's appropriate, serving the poor, you know, just all of these things the church ends up getting involved with. So the question is, Scott, is there a place for that? Obviously we probably could say yes, because the church is doing that, but where does it fit in, or how does it tie to the disciple-making mission of the church?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a really big question that you've asked.
It is.
And it's one that numerous pages have been written in numerous books, and there's a lot of conversation around this. And I don't know that I can give a satisfactory answer in this podcast, but I will say, where does it fit? Where does our involvement in the world, just doing good, where does that fit in the disciple-making mission of the church? Mm-hmm. Well, one way it fits is that doing good at times is actually a direct command of Jesus. So we're being disciples when we do that. If we're going to be a disciple-making community, church, congregation, we have to be disciples. And if there are needs in front of us that we refuse to meet, and we can, because we're selfish, we're being disobedient to Christ. He just told us to serve people, to love our neighbor. So part of the answer is, this is what it means to be a disciple, is to help people in need who are in front of us. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that.
Yeah.
Proximity is important. Mm-hmm. You know, the opportunity is important. All that is important. But I'm saying, at the base level, if there's a need in front of us as an individual Christian or as a congregation, and we refuse to meet that need, we walk on the other side of the road instead of meet that need in front of us, we are not being obedient people.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, qualifier. That doesn't mean we can meet every need.
Right,
the world has too many needs for anybody to meet. But that's a part of our discipleship, is to be involved in those things.
Yeah.
So that's one way that those things fit. They're just direct obedience to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other way that this kind of activity, like I mentioned, being a part of a school that we're working in, it's not that we have some kind of, you know, secret motive, but just to make it known that when we are engaged, involved in good things that are helpful to people, we do in the name of Jesus, with the strong prayer and hope that the very people we're helping will come to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
We want them to see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you glorify our Father who is in heaven is to respond to Him in faith. So that would be two simple ways, I would say. Your question, to kind of summarize, because it's a very important question, takes a lot of time to unpack, but your simple question is, how does all of our activity, like working at a school or helping the poor or speaking to a moral issue of the day. How does that play into our disciple making mission? Number one, it is discipleship when we're obeying the commands of Jesus.
Right.
And two, we want the people we're working with and speaking to come to repentance and faith and be followers of Jesus.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but in Matthew 28, therefore go, that word go is as you are going.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, it seems like that doesn't completely answer it, obviously. But as we are going, carrying the disciple-making mission of the church, we're going to be doing these things as we're going with this mission. And so I think that helps some ways for me. It doesn't mean that I go, I have to pick this, but I can't do this. It's just as I'm walking out this mission in my world and in the context I'm in, I think of William Carey. William Carey was a missionary to India. And I remember as he was planting churches, sharing the gospel, he fought against widow burning, which was when, you know, a husband would die, the widow would fall on the flames of her husband and be burned alive. He fought against that and got it taken out. And so that was as he was going. He didn't stop, well, I can't do that because I got to be planting churches. It's like, well, no, I can do this as I'm doing this. And it was being obedient. You know?
He was doing both. He was being obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And you've often said, you'll have to say it because I'll botch the way you say it, but you've often said, don't try to make missions a part of your schedule, don't make your schedule around missions, make missions a part of your already
schedule. Yeah, don't try to add mission into your schedule, but try to make your current schedule missional which was given by someone for me. It's not originated for me, but yeah, I think that's been helpful to me.
And so, you know, when we talk about making disciples, another way of looking at it, if you just look at what happened after, at what happened after Jesus gave the Great Commission, I think this is helpful. Look at what happened. What happened was people came to faith in Christ in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord got them scattered throughout carrying the gospel in numerous ways, but the main one we say is through persecution, but also a eunuch, an Ethiopian, was encountered Philip, and he went on down, and you know, so who knows where the gospel went, but the gospel spread. And then you have Paul from Antioch and his companions doing missionary activity. They're going to other cities, but then you have them writing letters back to those very cities to people who aren't going to be doing cross-cultural work around the world. They're going to be living in their own cities as salt and light. Isn't it all of it?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it just watching the way God in just the early portion of the New Testament church, how the Lord got his people crossing borders, crossing ethnicities, and going to these cross-cultural ways to share the gospel. And then how God in those cities had his people living for him, following him, witnessing for him, doing their work under the glory of God in the cities. It's all. And I think one of the problems that we have is to try to pit one against the other. And when you see the example of the New Testament is, it's all there.
Right.
But the main thing that's there is we're doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus to the glory of God with the gospel clear and the call put before people.
Yeah.
And the congregations growing.
Right.
And being healthy. You put all that in the mix, and the Lord's going to take care of his plan as long as we're faithful to all that.
Well, good. Well, again, helpful concepts to think about and ways that we can be centered on the gospel, not just here in these buildings that we meet in on Sunday, but out in our world.
That's right.
And then I just, you know, again, think of, as you were talking, writing down a lot of the workers that we're connected to. Some are members, some are not. And it was just, wow, we're in the 40 plus, almost getting close to 50. And it's just amazing to think people that have gone cross-culturally that we can pray for and encourage as well.
Absolutely. And if they're listening, we'll say hi to them right now.
Yeah.
We have people around the world listening to this. We do. We're grateful for you, and we do pray for you, and we love you.
Absolutely. So where are we heading next, Scott?
Well, this week we're going to move a little more specifically into the local congregation.
Okay.
One of the values of Grace Community Church is the local congregation. It's membership, it's fellowship, and it's unity.
Okay.
And so we're gonna talk about that.
Great. Thanks, Scott.